That's what I plan on doing. I think they're going to put it in the bulletin. That 1 Corinthians will be dynamite. Well, Romans has, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Romans is a... I had the biggest class of all my classes have been Romans. And, you know, sometimes we didn't have room to sit down in here. But and then we do pretty good with Genesis, but they fall off. They it seems to be too hard for some people, but... I'm teaching a little bit of Hebrew and a lot of Bible. I wanted to tell you this. I wanted to get it on camera. So, Richard Frankhusen, he said, "Thanks very much, dear brother in Christ. I'm going to listen to them on my work this weekend. My head is full of your lessons on church history." He had listened to all of them. He said, "And I use information to instruct other people of the faith and defend the faith on the streets while evangelize the gospel. History is his story. I pray for you and know that God will bless you because you do his will. God bless you, Richard." And he wanted, the other one before this, he wanted to say hi to everybody in the class. So you want to say hi to Richard?
Hi, Richard.
All right. That'll make him happy, I'm sure. I think he has listened to over 300 classes easily on the sites. And at all, that guy over there in that corner, that quiet guy, that's the one that does it. All the work right over there, Randall. I do my best to get it. Yeah, I know, but that's all the work. They sure wouldn't get it. If they didn't come to my class, they wouldn't hear it if it wasn't for Randall. This morning... We talked about St. Patrick. Now, some of you didn't get St. Patrick. All right? St. Patrick was a Baptist. All right? He was a Baptist missionary, came from England. He was Claudia and Pudens. And last week, who were the two that went to Wales? Priscilla and Aquila. These are the ones that went into this area and built churches from Paul's ministry. All right? St. Patrick lived, we're going to call him Patrick, because he wouldn't like St. Patrick very much since he didn't get along with the Catholic Church very well. The Catholic Church told him to cease and desist from his preaching and building churches. He built 365 churches in Ireland. He established seminaries, and he baptized, most people believe, over 100,000 people with his own hands. He only baptized adults only, by the way. By immersion only. He lived between the years 377 and 493 A.D. Give or take a few years on both ends. He lived close to 100 years. All right? And his father was Deacon Calpurnius. And his grandfather was a minister or a preacher in those early churches. He was kidnapped by Irish pirates, taken into Ireland. Enslaved for 6 years. Then he got escaped, went back to England. God put it on his heart to go and preach to these people. He went over there, and boy, did he preach, and they accepted the gospel. And matter of fact, the pagans came into England after that, wiped out almost all the churches. And then England had to be evangelized again, and churches reestablished from Ireland. All right. And if you even look in the Catholic Encyclopedia, they'll say about Patrick that he was a primitive Christian. You know what that means, don't you? That he was a Baptist. And if you read in a lot of history sources, you'll find out that the Catholics gave him a hard time. They did not want him preaching there. They sent different people to tell him to stop. All right. That was over St. Patrick's Day yesterday. A little history note. Some of those that don't listen to the Bible and ADHD classes might want to hear that on this one. Sometimes I have to repeat myself. All right. Genesis. Barashit. Can you say Barashit? Barashit. What does that mean?
Beginnings.
Beginnings. It's an old Hebrew plural that most people don't even get, or even the lexicons don't get it plural, but it is a plural. In beginnings, the beginnings, all the beginnings start in the book of Genesis. All right. 25 and verse 12. Is that where we are, Cindy? 25 and verse 12. I keep knocking things out. I'm going to give this to you right here. Just in case I pick on you. Okay? Just in case I pick on you. At least I tell you what page number. Yeah, well. That's Hebrew.
I know, but it's Greek Hebrew. I can read yours. I can't read yours.
Oh. Yeah, I try to make my Hebrew plainer than the texts are. And I told you a little bit about how that is. Try to make it plainer so you can tell one letter from another. Because a lot of times, I tell you what, I can hardly read modern Hebrew. Because they make all the letters look the same. All right, 25 and verse 12. What is the first word? We ele. All right. Toledot. All right. Yishmael. Ben. Avraham. Asher. Yelidah. Hagar. All right. Ma Mitzrit. Shaphat. How would you say that in modern Hebrew, brother, that last word? Ma Misrit. Yeah. And then Shaphat. Sarah Le Avraham. I should go back and look at this now. And these, with is and, of course. How do you say and in Greek? Kai. All right. Thank you. Generations. Generations. The family histories. The family histories, the generations, those that were birthed. We get the word birth from that. We get the word to give birth and to carry out from this word, toledot. Yishmael. What does Yishmael mean? Yishmael. What does Yishmael mean? That's called Yishmael. What? God hears. All right. We find out. And then son, Ben. Ben means what? According to a pattern. All right. Abraham. Abraham. What does Abraham mean? Thank you. Boy, I tell you, you ought to be a college professor. You know that? You ought to be a college professor. Since you are. Asher. All right. Whom Yiladah she bore. She had born. All right. Third person feminist singular. Cal perfect. Whom she had born. Hagar. Hagar. What does Hagar mean? Let's see if you remember in these what these words mean. We're looking at the words, the roots of these words. What does Hagar mean? That's right. Wanderer. You're getting A pluses all night. Wanderer. Ha Mitzrit. Ha is what? The. Tell me what are the Greek the's? Girls and guys. Huh? Ho-a-to. All right. Masculine, feminine, neuter. Ho-a-to. In Hebrew, you don't have that problem. You just got ha. All right. That means the. Definite article. All right. Mitzrit. It comes from what word? What word does that come from? Mitzrit. What is the root of this word? Mitzrit. Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. What does Mitzrayim mean? It's Egyptos in the Septuagint. That's where we get our word Egypt from. All right. In the New Testament, if you ever see the word Mitzrayim in there any place, that means it's coming from the Hebrew text. If it's Egyptos, it's from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. All right. What's Mitzrayim mean? What? It means red mud. Red mud. The land of red mud and canals and bulwarks. Where they put up all types of walls. See, a canal is actually a wall with a ditch in between. That's what it's talking about. It means walls or whatever. The land of red mud and walls. She fought the female slave. That's what it means. That she fought the female slave of Sarah. Sarah. What does Sarah mean? Princess. But what it comes from the word Sarah. What does Sarah mean? To contend, to strive, to fight, to argue, to quarrel. That's what a prince does. He all the time, he is a prince, he's fighting and striving to keep his kingdom. All right? Li Avraham. Li is what? That's a preposition, page 515. To Abraham. Abraham. Of course, the exalted father of a multitude. All right. 25:13.
Make sure this thing is working. What it is?
Have more trouble with these worn out machines. But they're working right now. I'm thankful for that. We elect. Shemot. Bene. Yishmael. Vishmotam. Itoladotam. Bikar. Yishmael. Ni va yot. We gedar. We Adbeel. You Mifsham. Mifsham, that is. Mifsham. All right. Let's go back and look at this. And these, that comes from the conjunction we and ele, these, and these, Shemot. The name Shem. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All right, what do those three names mean? We're going back. This is just a little review. I'm going to see what you remembered, see. Correct. You didn't get the first 40 classes, 41 classes and that, so you're off the hook. But the rest of these guys are on the grill. All right, what Ham, Shem, and Japheth? All right, what does Japheth mean? What?
Spread
to spread out. That's what Japheth means. One that was spread out. What does Ham mean? What does Ham mean? That means dark or swarthy. All right. Hidden the secret. All right. Ham. All right. And what does Shem mean?
Monument
or name. I'm going to have to put a muzzle on you so the rest of these guys can get some of this stuff. You got A plus tonight too. All right, you got all that down, see? All right, Shem. This is what the word Shem comes from this, and it names. Shem means name or monument. By Shem, God would make his name known, his name known to the world. All right? But it says God told Noah in Noah's prophecy that Shem would be set aside, and that Japheth or Japheth would go and carry the gospel out during the church age that we live in today. So Shem would carry out the gospel, and Japheth would carry out the gospel, and Shem would be lacking. Right today, they still will not believe. They will not believe today. They won't believe. They won't believe until great catastrophe is facing them right at the end of their nose. And they think they're going to be totally destroyed. Yishmael. All right. And these are names of Yishmael. In names or by names. Bishmatam. by names, two generations, firstborn, Bichor, Yishmael, Nabiot, all right? Nabiot, all right? Nabiot means husbandry. In other words, he was probably some type, he raised cattle and sheep, goats, or something, all right? And Kedar, with Kedar. That means powerful. Means powerful. All right? Powerful. If you want to write this down. And by the way, the roots of those names are on page 871. And look there, the other one was 614. All of them have the names of it there down below. Ishmael is 1035. Kedar and Abiel. All right, Abiel means languishing for God. Page 9. Now, these boys, some of these boys were almost born in the same year. I don't know whether they were twins or whatever. But Nabioth was born about 1840 B.C., and so was Kedar and Abiel. Now, that's pretty close. Maybe they were born near there. This is what the chronology charts say, somewhere around 1840. And then we have Mibsam. And his name means sweet odor. Like Quanta Parker, his name meant sweet odor, all right, in Comanche, Quanta Parker. Umishma. We do ma, you masa. All right. Now these people would become a plague. These are Abraham's wild oats, remember? These are all Abraham's wild oats. These are all Abraham's grandchildren, but they're wild oats. These are the ones, there are going to be tares in the field. Like in the parables of Matthew 13, the tares in the field. Who sowed the tares in the field in Matthew 13? Who was the sower there that sowed the tares? The devil. All right? The man that sowed the good seed was the Lord himself, was Jesus. But the one that sowed the tares was the devil himself. And then we went from Matthew 13 to Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, because Matthew 13 is the prophetic history of the church age. And so is Revelation 2 and 3. In the Old Testament, we have a lot of the same thing. We have so much prophecy in these names. There is so much prophecy. All right? And Mishma. Mishma means fame. And according to the charts, he was born in about 1846 B.C. All right? And then we have Silence. Marilyn had an aunt named Silence. Yeah, Aunt Silence, or Aunt Silence. This word, Duma, means silence. All right? Duma is silence in Hebrew. Silence. He was born about 1840. And Masa. Masa means burden. And he lived around Mount Seir. All right? Go back and look and see if I've got some of the areas where some of these others lived. The Kedar and Nabioth, the Nabioth were the Nabataeans. Where did they live? Do you remember? Nabataeans. Where did the Nabataeans live? Nabataeans. Petra. All right, Petra. Okay. And Kedar. All right. They were all around this area. Okay. Going a little bit further. 25 and verse 15. Here is a word right here that some of the Hebrew manuscripts, there is a difference in that. All right? I have looked in about five or six different Hebrew manuscripts, and they'll jump back and forth from Hadar to Hadad. And right here it is what? Hadad. All right? Hadad and Hadar. And what does Hadar mean, by the way? Remember the movie Grass? The leader of those people was Hadar. He was the prince or the leader, the prince of all of that group that we saw that, leading those people, those 50,000 souls. Hadar was the leader. And what was his name? What does his name mean? Mighty. Hadad and Hadar means mighty. It means powerful. And was that guy a powerful guy? You guys saw him swimming the rivers and leading all the people and breaking and walking over all of those snow-packed mountains in his bare feet? Literally. Powerful. In closing. Fire God. Mighty. All right? That's Hadar. Or Hadad. We Tema. Jitur. Nafish. Wa Kedima. Hadar or Hadad. And we have Hadad Dodge, don't we, or something like that? And Tema. Tema means sunburned. Sunburnt or sunburned. Tema. Sunburned. Now, maybe he was a real dark little boy. I don't know. All right. But he was, his name meant sunburned. And then Jeter. Jeter, I don't have a name for it at all. Jethro. Remember Jethro? All right, Jethro had several names. Did you know that? If you've listened to the Bible in any days, when we went into the and studied Jethro, we find out, I think he had five different names that he was called in the Bible. One of them was Jeter. Jeter. All right? This is Jeter here. And Nafish. Nafish means numerous. And these are the people that are west of Jordan. All right? The people are west of Jordan. And Kedema. That's Kedema means eastern. Eastern. Toward eastern. Toward the sun. All right? Kedema. 25 and verse 16. By the way, I am working on the next two pamphlets that I got to print for you to put in that book. Every day almost I work on it. Along with all these other classes. I try to give you something good every class. Ile, him, bene, Yishmael, we ele, si motam, behatsrihim, you be ti rotam, shenem, Asher, Nisim, Li'um Motam. These were sons of Ishmael, and these their names, Shem Motam, their name, Shem Motam, in settlements. Look at that word there, in settlements. Behatsrihim. That's page 347, Cindy. 347. Let's look at that word just a little bit. 347. See if you can find it. I might have even marked it sometime or another. 347. Well, it's Behatsrihim. Behatsrihim. So it would be Hatzrahim. All right? Be means in. Of course, that's your preposition, page 88. All right? Can you see that? Hatz. Yeah. Settlements. Does it have settlements in there any place? Little villages? Some of these people lived in caves. Some of them lived in caves. Around some of the areas, it meant caves, where they lived in caves. They lived in there was a lot of areas where they had a lot of caves in the mountains. When I lived up in Fish Lake Valley, there was two places up there that had habitation for 6,000 years. One of them was Cave Springs, and the other one, how many of you have seen that book, the Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of American Indian that I wrote? On the back page of that, it has a picture of me standing there with long braids in the front of this cave. That cave is black. That is soot from 6,000 years of occupation in there. 6,000 years of occupation. That place up there at Cave Springs, it was like 20 feet deep of animal bones and ashes in the floor of that cave. There are caves like that over all through the mountains. Mount Carmel, all over the Middle East, there are places like that where you can go back and it'll say 6,000 years of occupation in there. Why 6,000 years? Why all this 6,000 years? Huh? That's how long that man has been on the earth. That's it. We don't know how old the earth is, but man's been here 6,000 years, period. All right. What is the oldest city in the world as far as scientists and archaeologists and anthropologists have ever found?
Damascus.
What?
Damascus.
That's one of the oldest cities. What is the oldest city? What? No. What is the oldest city that they have ever found?
Earth.
What?
Is it Earth?
No.
A regular city.
There have been about five of them. Well, actually, three. I have been into three of the cities. Jericho. The oldest city in the world. All right. The oldest city in the world. All right. In settlements and in encampments. Shanim 2 and Asher 10. Princes. All right. 10 and 2 makes how many? We have a professor here, a math professor. 10 and 2, what does that make up, Cindy?
Depends
on what day of the week. Is that 12? Duodeca? 12? 12. 12 princes. And look at that word. Ni-si-im. See that? What's in the middle of that? That word ser is in the middle of this word, alright? Alright? The word ser, which means to quarrel and to fight and to conquer. And then, li-yu-matam, to their tribes. 25 and verse 17. We-ele, shene. Chaye, Yishmael. Miot, shana. Yushiloshim, Shana, Vishiva, Shanim, Vayikwa, Vayamot, Vayiaseth, El Ima. I try to tell you some history about everything here. When I was taking Hebrew, I had a great Hebrew teacher. And he would throw a little something in every now and then. But he just stayed with us all the time, and we looked at all the different words and everything else. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't throw a story in every now and then and tell you a little bit about the background, it gets real boring. It'll just put you to sleep and put you in the ground. I had my teacher sit up there and fall asleep on me. And you say, oh, I'm sorry. I fell asleep. And these years, all right. How is the word? What is the name for years? It's Shani here, all right. But what is the name for years? There's a girl's name by the what, name of what? Shana, all right. And then Chaye, this means of his life. This is the word for teeming things, life. All right. The years of his life of Ishmael, Miot. Miot means what? 100. Shana, years. Yushiloshim, and 30. Yushiloshim, Shiloshim is 30. All right. Yushiloshim, that's the word for and in the front there, that conjunction, page 253. Shana, years, and 7. Yushiba, Shanim, Yikba, and he expired. Third person masculine singular, kal, wow, consecutive, imperfect. He expired, he breathed out his last breath, and it just kept on being breathed out. He didn't breathe anymore. And he, yamot, and he died. And I tell you what, when you go through there and parts of there and the first parts of Genesis that goes through where this, he lived so many years, and yamot, he died. He expired. He lived so many years, and he died. Each and every one of us have a trail to make. We have a trail to blaze in this world. And I hope you blaze most of it for the Lord. I hope most of what your neighbors will remember about you is not your fine roses, but what you did for Jesus. Because the roses will just go away. But what you did for Jesus, the people you led to the Lord. I did a funeral here for Levi Maltragon a few years ago. Not very long after Buck Owens's. And when I led him to the Lord, he was instrumental in leading over 200 of his family to the Lord. He was a soldier. And while I was his pastor 40 years ago, he got hurt pretty bad out in the oil fields. He was in Vietnam. He was in the Marines in Vietnam. He got hepatitis over there, which was destroying his liver for years and years and years. He worked in this church ever since this church got started over there on Oildale Drive. Worked with, taught Sunday school, and worked with Vacation Bible School, and just every Tuesday night he was out going. I'm going to tell you something, that man left a wide trail in this world for the Lord. A wide trail. He was a great soldier. A great soldier. What did Yishmael do? We have his history here, don't we? This was Abraham's wild oats, and it would be curse. His children will curse Abraham's or Jacob's children from now on. They will curse Jacob's. Esau will curse Jacob's children, and they will line up against them. And he died, and he was gathered unto his people, he was gathered, third person masculine, singular, Nephel, wild, consecutive, and perfect, unto his people, El Amal, unto his people. And I'm sure that most of those people are in the flames of Hades today. Flames of Hades. Maybe Ishmael might have been known the Lord. Maybe. Maybe Hagar did. All right? Maybe she did. But from there on, boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's going downhill. These are wild oats. It didn't have anything to do with Hagar, did you? She had no choice of what she did in this world. How many of you have people in your family pass away that don't know the Lord? When you leave this world, people, there is no more chance. That's the end of it. When you go back and you read these people died, when they died in the Bible, there wasn't any more chance. They're either in one place or the other. They're either in Hades or in paradise with the Lord. No place in between. No more chances. This is it. This is the testing ground. Wayishkenu. Mi ha wilah ad shur ashur al panay mitz reim ba aka ash shura al panay kal Etah Naphal. Go back and look. And they dwelt, and they pitched their tents, third person, masculine, plural, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect, from Havilah. Havilah, there are some different meanings of this in different books. Havilah may mean gold. We know it means circle also. If you look on page 296 in that book right there, it'll tell you circle. It means circle. What other name in the New Testament means circle? Thank you, Galilee. Galilee means circle, circuit. And this is from Havilah. Od means as far as, and then sure. That's in the border of Egypt, all down through there, sure. Which, El Panay. What does El mean? Before or unto. What about Panay? Yes. What? Face. Before the face of Egypt. Mitzrayim. What does Mitzrayim mean? Hold on, Marilyn. Let the rest of these guys get this. Red mud. The land of canal banks. Because why? Why would Egypt or Mitzrayim be called the land of red mud and canal banks? Because the Nile floods every year, and it has a lot of silt and dirt in there, and they have a lot of canal banks where they divert it going out into the fields. All right. And Egypt, Ba'aka, you are coming. Call infinitive construct. All right. You are coming. Asherah, Assyria, before the face of all his brethren, and he settled. All right. And he settled. All right. Naphal. What does the word Naphal mean? He fell in right there. All right. That means to fall down or to fail. What are the Nephilim in the Bible? Nephilim. The fallen ones. The Nephilim. All right. 25 and verse 19. We Eleh. Toledot. Yitzchak. Ben, Avraham, Holid, Et, Yitzchak. All right. And these, we, Eleh, and these, the generations, and these are the births, the histories of the family of Isaac. Yitzchak. What does Yitzchak mean? Yitzchak. What does Yitzchak mean? Remember what that means? After, pleasure, all of that. That's what it means. Laughter, pleasure, all right? That's what Yitzchak means. And then son of Ben of Avraham. Avraham, he had begot, et Yitzchak. All right. He had begot. Third person masculine singular, hifel, perfect. He had begot Yitzchak. 25 and verse 20. 25 and verse 20. Wahi. You saying that? Wahi? All right. Yitzchak. Ben. Ardaim. Shana. Bi. Kakto. Et. Rivka. Bat. Bethuel. Ha. Arami. Mipadam, Aram, Achot, Laban, Ha Arami, Lo, Leisha. All right. The cross reference to this is Genesis 24:15, 29, 67, and 22:23. And became. Look at that word. And became. What is root? What? This word became what is a very important name in the Bible that it's the root of. Jehovah. All right. And became, third person, masculine, senior, cow, wild, consecutive, and perfect, Yitzchak, son of 40 years. All right. All right. And became Isaac, son of 40 years, in taking him Rebekah. Rebekah. Rebecca. All right? What does Rebecca mean?
Rebecca.
Remember what that word means? What? It means a halter. It means the lasso. It means the tie up. It means to capture. In other words, Rebecca was so beautiful that she captured the people that looked at her.
I remember the girls.
Well, Yitzchik. All right. Leah. What does Leah mean? Remember what Leah mean? Huh? Leah. What does Leah mean? Go back to Leah and Rachel. That's in the head. That's ahead, all right. But what does Leah mean? This is very unusual than what they usually say. Leah. It meant, the idea is weak eyes. Some people say sore eyes. Okay, weak eyes. But Leah was so beautiful that she made people weak when they looked at her. Some of these names were really beautiful names. All right? Rachel. Rachel means a ewe lamb. A little ewe lamb. A cute little ewe lamb. All right? Rebecca. And then Bot. That's daughter of Bethuel. All right? Bethuel. What does Bethuel mean? Huh? I told you last week, but this is the test now. All right? The dweller in the house of God. Dweller in the house of God, Bethuel. And then the Aramean, it comes from Aram. What does Aram mean? Aram. We get the word Abraham out of this. All right. Aram. What does Aram mean? Exalted. All right. From Padam. Padam means what? Padam. That means plain. Flat plain. But Padam Aram, the exalted plain. Padam Aram, the plain of Aram. All right? And then Achot is sister of Laban. Laban. What does Laban mean? Come on, girls and boys. What does Laban mean? Whitey. Thank you very much. He probably had white hair. Maybe when he was young, he had red hair, and when he got a little older, the hair turns beautiful silver white. All right? My great-great-great-grandfather, Smith Paul, had red hair when he was young, and when he got, 30 years old, his hair just turned silver white. Silver white. So maybe that's why Laban was called Whitey. I don't know. But that might have been it. I saw an Israeli-made movie here a while back with Laban in it, and he had white hair, bushy white hair. All right? Aram's sister of Laban, the Aramean, to him a wife, Li-Isha. What does Isha mean? Out of man. Boy, you guys are really getting to be scholars here. Of etymology. 25:21. Yitar. Yitchak. Lidavar. All right? Now, that's not Lidavar down there, but that's not what we're going to say. Because that's what the name means. Li-na-ka. Ishto. Ki. Akara. Ki. Yi-ater. Lo, again the word Bavar, okay, Wa Tahar, Rivka, Ishto, and begged, entreated, prayed to, all right, Wayatar, third person, masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect, and he kept on begging and pleading with Isaac to Jehovah. All right? That's the word Lidavar there, to Jehovah. That means, we look at that word, the word, in the New Testament in John 1:1. It says, in beginning kept on being lo ho logos, the word. John used a Hebraism there. Kai ho logos arks again until John 1:14. And the word, the Jehovah, flesh he became. That's very important. The fulfillment of the Jehovah titles in the Old Testament was John 1:14, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh He became. He is our Redeemer. All right? And that's what every time you see this word Jehovah, you think of John 1:14. That's the fulfillment of it. And I'll guarantee you what, if you get this down in your mind and you get it down, there will be no Jehovah's Witness to walk away from you the winner. That one verse in the Bible and in the Old Testament, this name, and those, and every time that John uses the word logos in the New Testament, that's who he's talking about right here. And in the Hebrew equivalent is the bar. Alright? Li'naka, on behalf of his wife. He kept on praying to Jehovah on behalf of his wife for, or because, key, page 471. Alright? In that book right there. Page 471, because barren. Barren. Akara, barren. She, and kept on being entreated by him, Jehovah. And she caught. She caught together. That's what it literally means. She caught together. She caught seed, she caught sperm, and she kept it. Alright? She conceived and she kept, and it grew. Revka. Ishto, his wife, his woman. Alright. 25:22. Why yit. You look at those two sod hays in there. See, that's a TS sound in there. Ha banim. Be kerba. Wat tomer. Imakin. Lama. Zay, Anoki, Watilek, Ladrush, Et, Devar. Okay, let's look at this now. And they kept on fighting. And they... Turn the phone machine over. And they kept on fighting. Ha-a-banim, the sons, in her middle. How many of you girls had children? How many of you girls had twins? One is enough, isn't it? Everyone kicking your ribs out and going on, you know, kicking and going on. Here were two of them, and they were fighting. They kept on fighting in her middle, in her womb, all right? They kept on fighting in her womb, in her inward parts. Page 899 is where that is. In her inward parts. And she said, and she kept on saying, third person feminine, senior, cowbell, consecutive, imperfect. By the way, that word amar, that's the root of it, is on page 55 in that book, and page 65 in Kohler and Baumgartner. And then she said, Emma, Ken, if thus, in this matter, for what or how, Zeth, then, I am, Anoki, I am. What's going on with me? What Telek? Now, she kept praying that she would have a baby, didn't she? She kept praying that she was going to have a baby. And she kept on being barren. Now, remember Rebecca. Now, how old was Rebecca when she was espoused to Isaac? 9 to 12, 13 years old, okay. Now, she was pretty young. He consummated marriage, but maybe she wasn't old enough to get pregnant yet. All right? And she kept on not getting pregnant. And he prayed, what in the world is going on here? All right? So God finally, she's still probably a pretty young girl here. And in the middle of her womb is the fighting going on there. I mean, wrestling and going on there. They kept on fighting. In her midst, her womb. And she said, thus, for what? Why? Then, I am. And she went. All right? And she kept on seeking to seek. she went, third person feminine singular, cow, wild, consecutive, and perfect, and then to seek, call infinitive construct, she kept on to seeking. That's what it means. She kept on seeking et Dvar, Jehovah. She kept on praying to God, to Jehovah. To Jehovah. Wayomer. See, if Hannah was here, she'd really like that word. You tell her we said that word for her tonight. Wayomer. Dvar. La. Shini. Gayim. Bi. Bitnek. Yushine. Li. Yu. Mim. Mim. Mi. A. Yek. Yip. Paridu. Yuliom, Milom, Yimats, Wirav, Yaavad, Ser. All right. This is prophecy. This is prophecy of Jacob and Esau and a prophecy of all of their descendants. All right. And he said Jehovah to her, two, Shani, two nations, Goyim, two nations, two peoples, all right, in your womb, and Yushane, and two, Li Yumim, and two peoples, two nations, from your bowels, they shall be separated. They shall keep on being separated. There's more than that. They will never get along. Never. They will never get along. These two nations will never get along. Third person masculine plural, Nithael imperfect. Page 825 on that, in that book, and page 962 in Kohler and Baumgartner. And they shall be separated, and a people. From a people. He shall be stronger and elder. He shall keep on serving younger. And elder, he shall keep on serving younger. That third person masculine, singular, cow, imperfect. He shall keep on serving the tesar, the younger. The older shall keep on serving the younger. And in the Bible, there is a principle. It is the principle of the rejection of what? The rejection of the firstborn. I want you to write that down. I want you to remember that. That is one of the most important principles in the Bible. The principle of the rejection of the firstborn. Let's look how that happened. Go back and think about it again. God rejected the firstborn. Adam had a son. And who was the firstborn? Canaan, Cain. Cain was rejected by God. All right? And then he replaced him with Zeth. Abel was never a threat to him at all. All right? Now, where's another one?
Actually, Noah kind of was rejected his son.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He rejected his son, Ham, whatever happened there, he rejected him. All right? What else?
Ishmael,
the firstborn, was rejected. Because he was wild oats. Wild oats. And then we have Esau and Jacob here. And then what else? Us. Our first birth is rejected of God. Our first birth is of the earth. Our first birth is illegitimate to get us in heaven. Not going to make it. You must be born again, Jesus said. John, the third chapter. You must be born from above. We're already born from down below, but that birth is rejected. If you're not born, if you not die before the age of accountability, if you don't, if you're born into this world and you don't have all your facilities where you can make a decision for the Lord, the Lord's not going to damn anybody that can't make a decision which way to go. All right? So they're covered by the blood, but all of those, but what blood are they covered with? By Jesus' blood. Still, they had to have a sacrifice. Because really, they were rejected. But there still is a sacrifice.
So if you have rejection of the firstborn, then where do we come into play that the inheritance always went to the firstborn?
What's that?
I said, if you have rejection of the firstborn, then why did the inheritance always go to the firstborn? I mean, it didn't always, because Cain and Abel wanted
it. Yeah, it didn't go to the first. But that was the heir.
Right.
All right, that was the heir. Okay. The firstborn, the one that opened the womb, the firstborn male that opened the womb. Because the firstborn male, what? Was destined to die if there wasn't a sacrifice made for him. Even when Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary had to go to Jerusalem and make a sacrifice, because every firstborn son in a family was born under the curse of death. If you didn't go get a turtle dove or a lamb or something to redeem him, it had to die. The firstborn of every animal had to be sacrificed, didn't it? Now, since they couldn't sacrifice camels and they couldn't sacrifice donkeys, they had to sacrifice something else. Or they had to break its neck. They had to kill it. It had to die. The firstborn of the rejection. All right. But that firstborn was the heir. All right, the firstborn was the heir. Think about that for a while. When a farmer bought a cow, the first calf that they would have, he had to give it to the Lord. What does that mean? Well, man, if I'm the one out here breeding cattle, I got to give the first one to the Lord. Why in the world am I breeding cattle? Because they prayed that God would give them another one, and another one, and another one. The first one was his. All right? That's just like your paycheck. The first part of that's the Lord's, not yours. It's not yours. Don't have it. Never did have it. All right? Just the way it is, all the way back to the garden. The firstborn was supposed to be the heir. The oldest person in the family was supposed to be the heir always. All right? Sometimes he was rejected. But that was the law of the firstborn heir. But the rejection of the firstborn in the Bible is a law. All right? 25:25. And then we'll finish right here. Why Yitzchak? Ha Rishon. Ado Mani. Kulo. Ki Adaret. Seir. Wayikru Ryu. Shimo. Esau. All right. And he went out the first. Ha Rishon, the first. See the word Rosh there? The word Rosh, and that means head or first. Okay? Adamoni. Adamoni. What does this mean? Adamoni. We get a word Adam out of that, don't we? Adam. We got Ha Adama. What is Ha Adama in the Bible? The red earth. The earth. All right? The earth. The earth. The reddish brown. The first one was reddish brown. You could call him red. All right? Red. And they called his name Esau. All right? Because all over him, like a hairy mantle of hair. He had a lot of hair on him. We got guys we call hairy, and sometimes they're not very hairy, but this is real hairy right here. This guy is real hairy. He was hairy, and he smelled like a goat most of his life. Hairy, and he stunk. Simple as that. He was hairy, and he smelled like a goat. When Rebecca dressed up Jacob like Esau, she went out and had him kill a goat, a stinky goat, and tied the hair of the goat around his arm so he would feel like hairy and smell like that goat, and put it around his neck. Everything that was exposed of Esau was hairy. Everything that was exposed was a lot of hair. This guy had a hair all over him. Have you ever seen anybody that had hair all over him? I saw one guy one time that had hair on his nose. All over his face. That's what Esau was like. He was hairy. Hair all over him. All right? Hair everywhere. All right. 25:26. We'll start this. Is that all right? You want to stop here for the day?
Did we go far enough? We'll stop right there. And this is 3 and 18, isn't it? You think maybe we ought to go on a little further because we're having a cloud burst. 3:18-12. Well, we'll go out there and brave it. So we started at 25:12, 25:12 through 26. We've made a little progress tonight. 25:12 says, did you learn anything from the book? Pretty neat things in there. Pretty neat things in the book. Remember all of those in your prayer. Remember the Solomon Islands. Now you've got somebody else to pray for. Those missionaries over there in Solomon Islands. And basically the missionaries in Solomon Islands are the Solomon Island people in their own churches that they'll carry on. They have a lot of opposition sometimes. Brother Don, would you dismiss us in prayer for tonight, brother?
Dear Lord, we just come to you. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come here and learn your word, Lord. And we just hope that we could apply it to our lives.